Man, I love Darrell. He is an amazing guy, and I'm so thankful that he's willing to be vulnerable, that he's willing to share his story, that he's willing to talk and to let all of us know that there's this long season of his life where he walked around carrying with him every day the weight of guilt and shame. And I think as we hear his story, all of us can identify, maybe not to the same degree, but all of us can identify with what it feels like to live with or to walk in this sense of shame over things going on in our life. And here's the thing about shame that we all need to understand right here at the beginning of our time together today. Shame prevents us from living our lives the way that God intended us to live our lives, right? The Bible says in John 10:10, this is Jesus talking, and we're going to frame everything around this. We're going to hit it at the beginning, then at the end, but Jesus is talking, and he said that he came so that we might have life and have life to the absolute fullest, right? To live in the joy and the peace that comes from knowing God. But for many people, we just heard one, right? But for many people, shame keeps us locked up, right? Shame that doesn't allow us to live that full life. And so this morning, we're going to open up our Bibles, right? And we're going to address from a biblical perspective where shame comes from and how God has equipped each and every one of us to deal with it through his word. We're going to see that shame might be the result of a sin or wrongdoing in our life, right? Something that we're doing that's dishonoring to God. But we also know that some may feel shame because of a sin or wrongdoing that through no fault of their own was committed against them, right? Wherever it comes from in our life, we're going to discover today that we were never meant to live in shame. We were never meant to carry that shame. We were never meant to walk in that shame. It's just not how we were designed. If you've got your Bible, I want you to open up to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to go back to the beginning, and we're going to look at creation in that very first book of the Bible. And if you think about in Genesis chapter 2, when God created man and when God created woman and when they were there together, I want you to try to think and remember what God said about the two of them in his word. It's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. I want us to look at this together. God creates man and woman. He puts them in the Garden of Eden. And in Genesis 2, 25, we read this. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Right? So here's what we need to follow this morning. Genesis 2, it comes before Genesis 3, right? At A&M, they taught me math and I got it really good, right? 2 comes before 3, right? Even an Aggie can get it, and it's important, right? Because in Genesis 2, Adam and Eve, they haven't sinned, right? Sin is not in the world. It's not there. It doesn't exist. And so think about that, right? There's nothing for them to hide, right? There's nothing for them to be afraid of. Right? There's no guilt, there's no shame that could possibly be there because there's no sin. There's nothing that's there to interrupt or disrupt their perfect relationship with God. Right? But then if we flip over into Genesis chapter 3, we see something changes. Right? Sin enters into the world through their disobedience and everything changes. And now we're about to read and see for the first time in the Bible the consequences of sin. And we see it with that first sin, and we know that this happens with every sin thereon after that. If you look at Genesis 3, starting in verse 7, this is what happens, right? This is right after the two of them have sinned. Verse 7 says this, then the eyes of both of them were opened. And what happened? It says they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made loincloths for themselves. I want you to notice this. Immediately, their shame. Right? Immediately, they try to cover themselves up. Immediately, they try to conceal and they try to hide. Let's keep reading. Verse 8, it says this, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden on a cool day. And the man and his wife, they hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Right? This right here, this is what shame does. Right? Shame breeds fear in our lives. Shame makes us want to hide. Shame makes us want to run. Shame makes us want to isolate ourselves and not be found. You see in Adam and Eve right there, shame drives us away. Shame puts a wedge in between us and our relationship with God. And we see in their story here that the guilt and that shame, man, they're introduced to the world by sin itself, right? I want to make sure that we're on the same page with the words that we're using this morning. And it just real simple definitions. Guilt, right, is an inner awareness of wrongdoing, right? Something that we know is wrong. And for those of us that are Christians, guilt is just an inner awareness of sin, right? Either sin that we've committed or sin that someone else may have committed against us, we can recognize it and know what it is. Shame is a step further than that. Shame is this painful feeling of humiliation or distress that's caused by a strong sense of guilt. And here's what happens, right? When shame hangs around, shame will tie us up. Shame will lock us down. It will isolate us if it's not dealt with in a healthy, biblical, and God-honoring way, right? I'm going to walk this out up on the whiteboard here, and we're sort of going to talk this through together, right? Because as we see in God's word this morning, there's going to be two directions that this thing can go, right? We see in God's word with Adam and Eve, right, that sin, all right, at A&M I learned how to do math but not really how to write, so just bear with me here, okay? Sin, right, leads to, we see with Adam and Eve, immediately there's this sense of guilt and shame, right? Right there at the beginning. And then it's going to go in one of two directions. And right, one of these is right, and it leads to salvation, it leads to freedom. And one of these is wrong, and it locks us up in this mental and emotional prison here, right? We're going to go one of two ways. We're going to be convicted of that sin, conviction, or, I did my best to know how to spell all these words, so bear with me. Or condemnation, okay? It's going to go one of two ways. As we think about these words, I want you to process what they mean. Conviction has to do with our behavior, with the thing that we have done, okay? Whereas condemnation is focused on our identity, and I'll explain those here in just a second, right? As we think about conviction, this awareness of our sin, of the behavior that it's there, we need to know where it comes from. Conviction in our lives or in our hearts comes directly from the Holy Spirit, right? This is about God being at work in our hearts and in our lives. Conviction is not an emotion that we create on our own. It's not something that we manufacture. It's not we feel bad about something because we got caught. Conviction in our life is the work of God in our hearts, right? That's the job of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, to let us know when we have done something that steps us out of alignment with the will of God. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. He said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But Jesus says, if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you." So if you're a follower of Christ, the Bible teaches that you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. And listen to what Jesus says about him. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, right? Conviction from the Holy Spirit is just an awareness that he brings to us that we have stepped out of the will of God, right? And conviction, we need to understand that it is the grace of God in our lives, right? When this happens, it is a good thing. It shows that God is at work and he is pulling us back to him, right? Pulling us back to life. So if the Holy Spirit speaks in your heart about something, about an issue that's going on in your life, don't ignore it, right? Lean in, listen to it, because we're going to see that ultimately this leads to life in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says this, "Godly grief, it produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." This way is going to lead to salvation. We're going to see it. This way is going to lead to death and isolation and separation, right? The Holy Spirit works in us. It convicts us of things that we have done, ultimately to lead each and every one of us to this place of repentance, right? Where we will repent from the sin in our life, and that simply means we're turning from our sin and back towards Jesus. We're leaving that behind, and we're choosing to hold on to Jesus. Each and every time the Holy Spirit brings sin or those thoughts into our heart, we turn from that, and we lock straight back in with Jesus. And as we do that, ultimately, that leads us to a place of freedom, right? Where we're able to live in the freedom that we have in our relationship with Christ. Look back at 2 Corinthians 7 again. Godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation, leads to freedom in Christ. Jesus says for freedom that Christ has set us free. This doesn't lead to shame. This doesn't lead to isolation. This leads to freedom and the forgiveness of sin in our hearts and in our lives. Right, this right here is the way through the Word of God to deal with guilt and with shame. But here's what we need to understand, right? Unfortunately, too many people, they take this other route where they hear or they feel or they walk with this sense of condemnation, right? This sense of hopelessness, like they're too far gone and they can't come back. Whereas conviction is talking about our behavior, condemnation makes us question our identity as who we are as children of God. Conviction in our life, it's from the Holy Spirit. That is His job. Condemnation in our life is from the enemy, right? That is not from God. We know that Satan in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, is called the accuser of the saints, the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of the church. And here's his plan, right? He wants to do everything that he can to chip away at our identity as children of God. He wants us to make us doubt our standing as children of God. The Bible says in John 1:12 that all that believe in Jesus, he's given the right to become his children. And he's not going to change that because of mistakes that we make along the way. He is holding us firmly and tightly as his children. But the enemy doesn't want us to think that. Right? The enemy wants us to doubt God's love for us. He wants to make us doubt that the promises of God that we read about in his word, that the enemy, and he is chipping away at us, trying to make us think that we'll never measure up, that we'll never get our lives together. Listen, I sat with someone this week who's broken and in tears, trying to work this out, trying to understand that the voices that he's hearing into his head and into his heart and into his mind, that they're not voices from God, and that there are voices from the enemy, that they're saying things to him like you're helpless, like you're worthless, like you're hopeless, like you're dirty, like you're disgusting, like you're this disappointment to God. That is the voice of the enemy. And if we listen to this voice, guys, it takes us to a dangerous place. It leads us not to a place of repentance. It leads us to a place of regret, right, where we wallow in the decisions that we've made. We allow it to anchor down on us. And ultimately, when we get here, it's a slippery slope, and we might find ourselves in this mental or emotional or spiritual prison, right? Weighted down by guilt, weighted down by shame, and that's not good, right? When this happens, think back to Adam and Eve, right? They didn't deal with it right away, and this wedge is driven between them and their relationship with God, the one that they were created to know, right? We can walk with the Holy Spirit to freedom. We can listen to the lies of the enemy in our life and become distant and isolated and separated from God. And it's important that we see and understand how this plays out in real time in our lives, because at the very beginning, you and I have a choice, right? Right up here at the top, as this begins to play out in our lives, we have a choice, right, about who we are going to listen to, right? We can listen to the Holy Spirit as he convicts our hearts, as he speaks into our light. And as we do that, right, he's going to bring this conviction to us that leads us to repentance, turning back to Jesus, and ultimately to the freedom that we have living as a believer. And let me just say, right, that if you're a believer in Jesus this morning, you've walked this path. Right, when you trusted Jesus for salvation, this is what happened in your life. You understood that your sin separated you from God. The Holy Spirit worked and convicted you of that. You turned from that sin and you latched on to the freedom that we have in Jesus. Right, you turned your heart and your life to Him. And let me just say that this should continue in our lives. Right, this should be a pattern now for us as we listen to the Holy Spirit and ultimately walk in freedom. And when we do that, this guilt, this shame, this sin, it won't weigh on us, because we'll understand that when we mess up, we can be forgiven and we can walk in the freedom that we have in Christ. But the opposite, listen, the opposite is also true. If we make the choice up here, and if we listen to the enemy, man, we're going to end up questioning who we are as the children of God. We're going to live in regret, and we're going to allow shame to just lock us up. Right? And sadly, man, this right here is where a lot of people are living today. Right? Either because of something that you've done, something that you don't think God can forgive you for, something that you continue to struggle with, maybe because of something that's happened in your life. At some point, right, people made a choice that locks us up. They're listening to the wrong voice. At the very beginning, right, we need to understand that the person that we are listening to, the voice that is speaking into our life, absolutely matters. This past week, I took my kids to the zoo, and it was fun. We enjoyed it. We had a great day, and it was one of those days before it got too hot outside, so the animals were all going nuts, and let me just say that we had so much fun at the zoo together as a family. But there was this one moment where I'm standing over here in line for something, and I look over out of the corner of my eye, and I see a situation unfolding in front of us. I see one of my kids, I won't tell you which one, those of you that know us will know immediately which one, but I see one of my kids sitting on this fence and he's straddling it. And he's got one leg dangling over the sidewalk, right, where he's supposed to be, where it's safe and where it's okay. And he's got the other leg dangling into the cage of one of the biggest, most dangerous animals at the zoo, right? He's got his leg halfway into the rhinoceros cage by the time I see him from across the way. And I look over, and he's got two brothers speaking into his life saying, "Go for it. Get in. Go try to ride it. Check him out, right? Go touch the horn." And he's leaning in to this cage. I'm like, what is going on? And so immediately, and probably loudly, I suggested that he take another path, right? I said, "Bro, get out, right? Don't put your other leg in there. Get out and come back to me, right? Get on the sidewalk, right?" He has this choice now where he's on the fence. And he can lean into something that he's not coming back from. And he can lean into something dangerous. He can lean into something that's going to hurt him, something that's going to take him out. Or he can listen to me. And he can lean the other way. And he can come back to his dad, who's going to keep him safe, who's going to wrap him up, who's going to allow him to continue to live, right? Listen, silly story. True story, right? A silly story, but we know this. Guys, we know this. It is dangerous to listen to the lies in our lives. It is dangerous to listen to the wrong voices in our lives. Guys, when we listen to the wrong voice, what we live in shame, and all we want to do is hide. All we want to do is cover up. The sin that's in our life, the mistakes that are in our life, all we want to do is cover up the abuse or the trauma that we have experienced in our lives, right? We live with this constant fear of exposure. And if we listen to that voice and if we live in that way, let me just tell you that this can work itself out in so many destructive ways in our lives on a daily basis. Listen, some people that are living down here that they just feel locked up, they try to hide it or they try to numb it. And it's through drinking, it's through drugs, they just try to numb those feelings away in their lives. Some people turn themselves into perfectionists because they don't feel like they'd be accepted any other way because of things that they've done in their lives. And some people, man, they just shut down. Right? They turn inward. They isolate themselves. They become loners because they don't feel any self-worth and they don't want to be rejected by people. So they never put themselves out there. But listen, when we listen to the truth, When we hear the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, we know that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. When we listen to the Holy Spirit at work in our life, this cycle breaks because we repent and we turn back to Jesus and we live in freedom in our life. And this is where we want to be. And listen, as we work this out on the board, let me just tell you that there are three things that we can do, right? Three active choices that we can make on a regular basis to live in freedom, to live walking with Jesus. And listen, these are things that we have to do on a regular basis. I know I do. I'm not perfect. I'm assuming that you're not either, which means that we need to continue to turn our hearts and our lives back to Jesus. So if you're carrying some shame around this morning, if you're walking with something and you're ready to be set free, lean in to what the Word of God says. And let me just say this, that if you're not, man, lean in anyway. You're going to have that moment in your life where you need this. And not only that, man, all of us know people that are struggling, right? All of us know people that are walking through things, and the last thing that any of us ever want to do or that any of us ever should do is offer someone advice that comes from our own mind and our own heart. We need to be equipped with the Word of God so that when people are struggling in our lives, we can give them truth from the Word of God to help them step back into that relationship with the Heavenly Father. So three things that we can do to live in freedom. The first is this, it's very simple. We can choose the gospel over guilt, right? The gospel over guilt. Gospel simply means this, it means good news. And so when we open our Bible and read about Jesus, we see that is the good news, that Jesus came so our sins could be forgiven, right? So that we could have a right relationship with God, no longer be guilty, and instead walk in freedom. You remember John the Baptist? Right, the first thing that John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus walking up, these are the first words of John the Baptist about Jesus in the Bible. He said this, "Behold, it is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Right, that's good news. Right, so the gospel we see in the Word of God, that's God's answer to sin. That's God's answer to guilt. That's God's answer to shame. When we turn to Him, we live in freedom. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says this, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life." How? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hear this, guys. The gospel. And that's the answer to guilt. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection to make you right with God, know and understand that your guilt's been dealt with. Right, your sin has been forgiven, and because of that, man, shame should have no place in your life. Listen to what the Bible says about guilt in the life of a believer. In Psalm 103, verse 12, it says this, "As far as the east is from the west," can't get any farther, right? "As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sins from us." We don't need to hold on to it, right? God's taken it away. God has removed it. Jesus is the answer to guilt. He's the answer to shame. When you sense that this weight of guilt or shame that comes from sin, make sure you listen to the right voice, do the right thing, repent, turn back to Jesus, and ultimately live in freedom. And let me just say this too. Because while we're talking about the gospel, taking our shame away, we need to address, right, another area where shame may come into our lives. Right, up until now on this thing, we're talking about situations where our own decisions lead us to a place of shame or guilt, where our own decisions begin to take us down a road that we don't want to go down. But I know, too, that there's people that might feel shame because of something that was done to them, or because of something that wasn't their choice, because of something that happened to them at some point in their life. And there's a big difference here, okay? And I know there's people in the room. I know there's people that are probably watching online this morning that are carrying around a sense of shame from something like that. And let me just take a second, right, to talk directly to you if you're feeling that this morning. And let me just encourage you and say, still, right, if that's not dealt with in your life, if you don't talk to God about that, if you don't talk to other people about that, you know and understand that can still lead you to a dark place. that can still lead you to a tough place where you are carrying around something that God never intended for you to carry, where you're feeling guilt or shame about something that God never intended you to feel guilt or shame about. So this morning, let me just say that if that's you, if you have been carrying that around, lean into the good news of Jesus here, right? Lean into the gospel and trust him, right? Trust that Jesus heals. Trust that the promises of God, that he restores, that he makes all things new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. And so this morning, right, listen to the voice of truth. Listen to the Holy Spirit speaking into your life and hear Jesus as he tells you, you have no reason, no need to carry around guilt or shame for the choices of another person, right? You have no condemnation in your life for the choices of another person. Let me encourage you, right, to just let your heart be open, let your heart be soft, right, and take hold of the truth to live in the gospel and to live in freedom, because you know this, right? You've probably walked in this, right? If that's you this morning, you know that the enemy is going to attack you. You know that he is going to go after your mind. You know that he's going to go after your heart. You know he's going to go after your emotions. The enemy, he's going to bring up the trauma or the pain that you have experienced. And he's going to say things, right, that make you begin to doubt your identity as a child of God. He's going to say things to make you doubt the work of God in your life. And let me just tell you that when you hear those things in your head, when you hear those things in your heart, the enemy is a liar, right? He's got an agenda. He is trying to hurt you and harm you. Choose, when those voices begin to talk, to listen to the truth from a God that loves you, from a God that gave up his son so that you could have life in him, wherever it might come from in our lives. Wherever we might begin to feel shame, right? Choose the gospel over that guilt. Choose the gospel over that shame. The second choice that we need to make this morning to walk in freedom is simply this. Choose confession over concealment, right? And you see the differences here. One of these two sets you free. The other one locks you up, right? Well, whatever we keep in the dark, whatever we try to hide from other people is usually the thing that's trying to kill us, right? Maybe not literally, but certainly spiritually. So this morning, let me encourage you, right? Get good at confession of sin, right? And all confession is agreeing with God that a wrongdoing happened, agreeing with God that we've done something to step outside of the will of God. So talk to someone about what it is that's going on in your life. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it works. Confess your sin and allow people to come around in your life that will point you to the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Allow people in your life that will point you to this place of repentance. Allow people in your life that will walk you down to freedom in Christ. And let me just say that we're supposed to be doing this with one another. We should have a network of people that we can talk to about our struggles. And let me just say that if someone comes to us and talks to us about their struggles, we need to love them with open arms. We need to love them to the truth. We need to love them to freedom in Christ. We don't need to turn away. We don't need to shut them out. We don't need to shut them down. We need to embrace them as our brother or as our sister in Christ and help walk them down to a place of freedom. And then finally, the third choice that we need to make this morning and every day to live in freedom is this. Guys, we need to choose facts over our feelings. Do you hear that? Facts over our feelings, because what goes on in our mind at the very beginning of this process absolutely matters. It's going to take us in one direction or another. Think about a train. They've got a picture of one up on the screen, I believe, right? The fact, right, needs to be driving us. The facts need to be pulling our emotions and our feelings behind us. Let the fact, the truth of the Word of God be what takes us in the direction that God has called us to go. Look back up here on the board that there's two choices calling to us, one with truth and one with lies. We need to lean into the truth. What is the truth? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to us? Well, here it is. Romans Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. 1 John 1:9 says if we confess our sins, right, if we repent, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can walk in freedom, right? The fact is this, God doesn't want me and God doesn't want you carrying around guilt that he has already taken care of on the cross. Okay, when shame locks us up, when shame tries to isolate us or drive that wedge in there, we have to hold on to the truth. And we do that by clinging to the promises of God each and every day. Right, that this right here, and it's the way to freedom in our lives. It's the way to living in grace and peace and joy. This is how we do what Jesus saved us to do. Remember that verse at the beginning, John 10:10. Jesus came so that we could have life and have life to the fullest. So today, right, no matter where we're at in this process, no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what has gone on in our lives, let's commit to choosing the gospel over guilt, to choosing confession over concealment, and choosing fact over our feelings. And as we do, we're going to live in freedom. Right? That's what Darrell's doing. I want you to hear the end of his story.
And so I just kept going. I kept going until it was a moment where I just was looking back over all the years of just going through that cycle. I literally had tangible evidence. I had journals, I had emails, I had so many things that I was just looking over. And I just was saying, God, I can't believe I was doing all of those things. I can't believe how desperate I was. I was completely miserable. I mean, I had never struggled with suicidal things, but I could imagine that maybe that night I was probably like, if this doesn't change, then what's the use? It was seeming there was no way out. And I was tired. I just remember feeling so tired. And just laying on my bed, just saying, God, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of doing, of just going and going and going and just coming out empty, coming out like, I can't do this anymore. And didn't know how it was gonna turn out. I just said, I'm done. And I felt like I cried myself to sleep. And knowing what I know now, and to be able to tell someone who's in that position, you're in the best place for a miracle. I feel like when you get to the end of yourself, when you get to that place, and God knows when, you and God know when you're really there, it's the moment where he's like, I've been waiting for this moment this entire time. And that's when he just does the miraculous. He does it. He transforms and changes desires. He gives you a new name. He gives you a new identity. And all you had to do was just get to the end. And he somehow God orchestrates our lives to get to that point. And if we'll allow it, if we will allow ourselves to be tired, if we will allow ourselves to be done enough so that he can come in and do what he loves to do, which is make broken things and make something, take broken things and make something new out of it. I mean, when you get to the end is now the new beginning. I feel like he's given me, I hate to be literal, but he's just given me a song. He's given me a new song, an ability to just, to be so lost in him, to be so free. Because I've always just wanted freedom. I've seen him take my freedom song and spark freedom in others and be able to say, man, if God can do that for him, he can do it for me. I am not the hopeless case that I thought I was.
And freedom, it's possible for each and every one of us. We simply listen to the truth and take hold of Jesus. Would you pray with me this morning? we bow our heads and step into a season of prayer here this morning, I just want you to think about the Word of God in your life. I want you to think about the truth and the grace and the love that God has and continues to lavish on each and every one of us. And this morning, let me just say that if you have been living in shame, if you have felt isolated or locked up, if you have felt, like Darrell said, like you're living in the sense of hopelessness, you can be set free from that today. Right? You can take hold of the truth. You can latch on to Jesus and allow Him to work in your life in an absolutely miraculous way. Maybe this morning, as you think through that and hear that, you need to become a child of God. Maybe this morning you're hearing the Word of God and the love of God, and you're thinking, man, I need a relationship with that God, and you're ready to trust in Christ today. Maybe this morning you just need to remind yourself that no matter what the world around you says, if you have trusted in Jesus, you are His child, and nothing can take that away from you. The Bible says that Jesus is holding you tightly in His hand, and nothing and no one can pull you out. Maybe this morning you're at this place where you know about a sin in your life, where you know that you're doing something that's not pleasing to our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit has been working on your heart this morning. Maybe this morning He's been telling you, hey, it's time to confess that. It's time to repent, to turn away from that, and to turn back into your love relationship with Christ. And if that's it, man, do that this morning. Right? And lean into the gospel. Do not continue to hold on to something that God has already let go of. Be forgiven today. Maybe shame in your life has prevented you from becoming a Christian. Maybe you're thinking, God could never love someone like me. Let me tell you, that's not true. And God loves you and desires a relationship with you. Maybe shame in your life has prevented you from being baptized, prevented you from publicly declaring your faith for Jesus. If that's you this morning, let's get that right. Let's trust in Him. Let's be willing to stand up boldly and publicly to say that you are a child of God and that you are forgiven. Maybe shame in your life has prevented you from sharing the good news of Jesus with a friend. Maybe you've thought, I'm not worthy, I'm not qualified to share that. Let me tell you, you are. You're forgiven, and you are set free. Right? Whatever effect shame has had on your life this morning, let me encourage you, listen to the voice of truth, turn to Jesus, and walk in freedom. Just a second, we're going to stand and worship. We're going to thank God for the things that He's done in our life. We're going to thank God for freedom. We're going to thank God for forgiveness. And we're going to have some pastors and prayer partners down here at the front. And we'd love to pray with you about what's going on in your heart. If you're ready to trust Christ, if you're ready to be baptized, if you're ready to join our church family, if you want to talk with someone about guilt or shame that's been in your life that you feel like has just locked you up, man, we'd love to pray with you about that and allow God to do a miraculous work in your heart and in your life. Whatever it is, know that we're here and that we would love to pray with you. When we stand up, that'll be your time to come and pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for your truth in our lives. God, we thank you for freedom that comes only from you, Father. And God, our heart right now, our prayer right now is, God, we want to be people that walk with you. We want to be people that listen to your truth as it's spoken into our life. God, we want to be people that walk in freedom. And God, we know it's possible because of what your word says. So this morning, God, let that truth take hold of our hearts and help us to live life like you created us to live life to the absolute fullest. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we go to the Lord and worship, and our pastors are here now. We'd love to pray with you.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.